Amen. Well, you know what? That prayer just inspired me to do this differently. I'm going to start with our scripture passage for today, since I didn't want to waste Bethy's prayer there. You did pray for me, right? Yeah. I don't know. You prayed for a lot of things. Yeah. All right. So, okay, here's the passage for today, which is perfect. It's amazing how the scriptures just line up with everything we're doing, only by God, right? And no, you know, no joke. I found out, you know, the Bible Project that makes our videos? They found out we were doing the Sermon on the Mount, and they started a series on it. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. And then I heard Grace Presbyterian found out we're doing the Book of Matthew, and so they're doing the Book of Matthew. I can't believe these places that, I mean, you know what? We're going to have to shut down our website because everybody's getting our stuff and taking it out. And no, we are, this is so cool. We have two missionaries with us today. And by the way, they're going to be speaking more in depth about their ministries after church in a lunch in the fellowship hall that you're all invited to. And there will be a light lunch served, and they're going to be there to say more about what they're doing, but they're just going to introduce themselves today. But this is it. Here we are in Matthew. This is the text we're at, Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And then here's what he said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." That's our text for today, and we've got two of those workers who went out into the harvest field to share with us what God did, and the answer to prayer, the answer to this, Jesus' prayer. Melinda, you're the answer to Jesus' prayer. Come on up here and share with us what God's doing with you, and folks, just be blessed with what God's doing out there.
Check. I'm Melinda Mers. Nice to see some of you that I know, and great to meet some of you that I don't know. I've been supported by this church for many, many, many years, and I am so very grateful. And every time I stand up here, I think, wow, what a privilege it is to be sent off and into the world by people like you. I cannot do my job without your support. So first and foremost, I want to thank God for providing, and I want to thank you guys for praying and being the hands and feet here in the local body of Christ. For the last 6 years, I've lived in the Middle East. I worked in Amman, Jordan. As you know, the situation over there has changed drastically in the last 235 days or wherever we're at with the up count for that. And so the Lord, I felt last fall that the Lord was leading me away from there, and in his right timing, he knows what is best and what is right. I work with Youth with the Mission, which is an international interdenominational missions training and sending organization. For the last 25 years, I've been working in their training. And I also felt God bringing a bit of a shift. Not that I won't be doing training anymore, but it won't be predominantly something that I will be directive in. However, what God is leading me to is something far bigger than what I could have ever imagined. So, what happens when people pray? Does anybody know what happens when people pray? I'm sorry, what's that church? So one person said something happens. I think I heard somebody else say things change. God hears, right? He responds. When people pray, things happen, okay? What happens when the church gets together in unity? Things happen. I see you're having a five-church picnic. That's awesome. So about last fall, as I was moving, a friend of mine approached me and said, "Hey, I have a ministry that I started with YWAM out in California, and I have to leave. It's all set up, money in the bank, everything's ready to go. Do you want to be the director?" And I thought, no, absolutely not. However, what I learned later is that 30 churches and ministries that are working out there in California have been praying for their community for 5 years for transformation. And they had specifically invited Youth of the Mission to come into their community and be a part of seeing a change. 95% of this community does not go to church on Sunday. This is America, the United States of America. One nation under 95% of the people in this population do not go to church on a Sunday. The people who do go to church are incredibly faithful. They are 5%. They are now a minority. Isn't that crazy? What kind of, I mean, when I left 25 years ago to go abroad, I expected that when I went abroad. What I did not expect is when I came back home that that would be where we're at. So I have been called, I felt like by the Lord, been called to go out and to work in this community. It's in Santa Rosa, California. Now, I waited to tell you where it was because some of you will immediately think, ooh, that's lovely. But I want you to know that it is very lovely location-wise, but the hearts of the people have grown very cold. And they don't need Jesus. They don't need God in their lives. They have what the world can provide. But as we know, a lot of people have been leaving California. Why? Because it really doesn't satisfy. And so there's a big void and a big gap there. And so it felt like the Lord called to work there. There's a lot of things going on in that community that I can share more with you about as we meet at the luncheon. But some things that would love your prayers for. There's a lot of witchcraft out there. There's a lot of New Age, LGBTQ started in that region there. So there's a strong presence there. There's a lot of new things like sex trafficking that the Mexican cartels are bringing up through California. People are coming across the border. People are taking advantage of that, bringing them up and enslaving them. That's happening in our cities. Drugs, of course, and the usual. So it's quite a big deal to engage. But as I said, when the church prays, God does stuff. And this church has united. They are small, but they have united together, and they said, we're going to take our city back for the Lord. And so it is a privilege of mine to be a part of that. So I would value your prayers, and thank you so much for all the wonderful years that you guys have really championed what God has done in the nations. Thank you.
Jesus, thank you for Melinda. Thank you for the call in her life, that she is the answer to your prayer and our prayer that Jesus asked us to pray. And so are we. And together, God, we want to continue to support Melinda with our prayers and with our financial aid to be able to make it possible for her to continue to answer your call. And we ask your blessing and anointing on her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, I love it when the Holy Spirit gives you a jolt. Okay, Alicia, come on up. And this is Alicia, and I don't know if you guys remember her, but last time she was here, she did this spoken word thing that she just released out over the church. Do you remember that? That was just like crazy. But anyway, so not to, you know.
I have another one for you.
Oh, you do?
Why not?
Okay, so last time I shared a spoken word that was my story and being called into missions. I've been doing full-time missions for 12 years. Ever since I graduated from ISU, the Lord will just change your life path real quick. I think I was on the mission field within, oh, that's my husband. I just saw that was up there. I just got married about a year and a half ago. This is Stephen. He's in Kent. Oh, thanks. He is in Kenya right now, and he's getting like his visa interview done. He just had it on Friday, and so just a few more things, and then he will be standing next to me here in person, hopefully, this time by the end of the year. So I'm excited for you guys to meet him. So last time I shared a spoken word testimony, and this time I have one that I hope makes you guys feel a part of the story of what God is doing in the nations, because like she said, like we have people like you that are sending us out so that we can share the gospel with the 7,000 unreached people groups before the Lord returns. And so it's a weighty task, but I want you guys to know you are obviously a part of this and this huge storyline that the Lord is telling. So this spoken word is called An Aroma's Tale. Are you guys ready? They say that there's a way for a scent to fog the mind. The capsule for a memory and time clocks of rewind. The sight, the sound, the taste, the touch hold treasures of their own. But how do you mask an aroma lasting generations long? You see, the tales of an aroma, decades without recall, can pick up at the pause of a plot's rise and fall. You know it when you sniff the scent. Your mind goes back moment by moment to grandma's kitchen, the smell of cookies, the childhood memories, the joy and reprise. You know how it feels when your memories are sparked by one simple aroma. You see, the tales of an aroma, decades without recall, can pick up at the pause of a plot's rise and fall. See, it was centuries ago. A man named Abraham willed to offer his greatest son of promise for the sake of great I am. But a ram, caught in the thicket, provided in the moment, was placed on that altar, a pleasing fragrance before the Lord. You see, the tales of an aroma, decades without recall, can pick up at the pause of a plot's rise and fall. And then, an unlikely scene. A young shepherd boy dripping the oil of a king, soon to say that he desired one thing, to dwell in the house of the one true king, a kingdom with no end. Let the fragrance arise, let the worship ascend. You see, the tales of an aroma, decades without recall, can pick up at the pause of a plot's rise and fall. It takes him back. With our worship, we take him back to that moment in that room, that woman breaking her perfume and inheritance to last her a lifetime, broken at the feet of a man destined to die. The spikenard coated locks of hair as white shards lie close by, and incense rose alongside those who would offer their whole life. It's a scent that fumes through centuries, from day to night, its offerings, from Hebrides to Israel, following in one accord, as the prayers of the saints fill the bowls continually before him. You see, the tales of an aroma, decades without recall, can pick up at the pause of a plot's rise and fall. So here we are. Let's turn off the taste, the touch, the sight, and the sound within these walls, so the one in whom our soul delights is evident to all. Whew, what a storyline that we're a part of. I just went through a few scriptures, a few stories in scriptures of people that were willing to give an offering before the Lord. And when we were giving it from Central Illinois, when we're giving our offering from Africa, from India, from China, it's all filling the same bowls before the throne of God. It's a beautiful fragrance that's before him. So you guys, same as me, were a part of this story of creating worship before the throne of God until one day those bowls are so full with the praise of the saints according to Revelation that... And the Lord comes back. And that is our hope when he comes back, the resurrection of the dead. So one of the main things that we do overseas is we bring people into this bigger storyline. It's not just a white man thing. People think when, you know, we're going to East Africa, we're going to India, oh, this is white man's religion. Actually, it's the religion of the Jews. It originated with the Jews. And trying to bring them into this story that not only is this salvation for the Jews, but it's salvation for the Gentiles as well. Every tribe, every tongue, every people and nation would be represented before the throne of God, even singing in their own language. So we've been putting on these worship schools, these training schools, trying to get people into this identity, this new kingdom, understanding who they are in Christ and the new kingdom that they're now a part of. So even this coming fall, we're going to be putting on like a 3-month training school, training up young 20-year-olds, you know, in worship, prayer. And at the final 2 months, they go out and they do missions. And we live in the Hindu capital of the world, in Varanasi, India. Like, very few churches in that area. But imagine young people, they understand their identity in Christ, and then going out to these villages and preaching the gospel. So that's our aim. We're bringing more people into the kingdom, more people into a new identity. So the biggest thing that's happened for me and Stephen, as I'll kind of wrap up here, that's happened in the last couple months. So he got a call from his dad. So just background, his dad is an archbishop in Burundi, Africa. So he's started between 60 and 70 churches since before I was born, he started. So he's been doing it for some time. He's in his 70s now, and he's looking to retire. And so in African culture, the inheritance of a father goes to his firstborn son. And my husband is the firstborn son. So 2 months ago, Stephen flew out to Burundi. He signed his name on some legal paperwork, and we will be inheriting 60 to 70 churches in Burundi, Africa. So that's crazy. And Stephen just told me this last week, because I was like, how do I share this with people going back, you know, to America? And he says, well, I do know that 3 of the pastors out of the 70 have gone to Bible school, and the rest have not. So they've heard the gospel, they've gotten on fire, they have the word in front of them, they have the Holy Spirit, but they haven't had any, you know, training. So what we've done proactively is we've purchased 5 plots of land in Burundi that we're looking to do training schools and bring in these pastors so they can come in for a season. We still need to work out the details. How do you do rotations? How do you have an interim pastor at 70 churches? How does this work, Lord? But I know the Lord will give us favor and he'll give us wisdom. But that's our biggest update, is that, yeah, that we need you guys' prayer for, is we're inheriting all these churches and we want to retrain the pastors and then send them out from that place. So missions in India and missions in East Africa apparently is what the Lord has swept us into, and we're just grateful for what the Lord's doing. So thank you guys for sending us and for praying for us.
Awesome. I'm gonna pray for this. Goodness, my goodness. Oh, Jesus. Bless Alicia. And bless Stephen, and bless their marriage, and bless their ministry, and thank you for the calling. And you have already provided for all these things. You already have the plan on how to work this. You already have the provision. You already have all of that set in place. As they continue to seek first the kingdom of God, all of these things will be added unto them. And may glory come, and may that aroma rise from Burundi and East and India, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Wow. Well, that is, gosh, you guys, you can hear more about this stuff that they're doing at lunch. Don't forget that. If you don't have plans, it would be an awesome place to just go sit and listen to what God is doing out there. Praise God. And you know what? This text that we have from Matthew 9, 35 through 38 that we read, we love what God does when he sends people out, you know, like Melinda. Oh, my cup doesn't fit in the cup holder. What in the world? Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord, help me get through this. Okay. Thanks, Caleb. I'm good. So,
you need a cupbearer.
A cupbearer, yeah. Someone to stand here like that. Thank you. This text applies to you and I, to us sitting here today. God sends us out. Who does God send us out to? California, somebody needs to go save those people because they're crazy out there, right? That's all my relatives out there, so I hope you connect with them. Just to think about, you know, all the stuff. No, I'm good.
I'm going to come there and hold it for you.
No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to. Oh, my gosh. Be careful what you ask for. That God might answer it like that. Thanks, Lord. But, you know, we are sent out as Christians, like ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The fields are ripe. What fields? Peoria. I don't know what the percentage of unchurched people is, but it ought to be zero. And we, you know, and it's like, who's in front of you? Who works next to you? Who's your neighbor? Like, that's your mission field. We have a mission field, and we have an awesome, you know, the organization of the church is such that these people are going out and being sent out, but there has to be a home base that is continuing to keep the prayers and the financial support going for all these missionaries, and we do that. You understand 10% of everything that comes into our church, everything that you give, 10% of it goes out to other ministries. So that our church is tithing, okay? And we don't have to be limited to that. If you ever have the passion, the desire, and you should, to give beyond your tithe to missions, do it. God will bless you. It'll be good. I feel an echo in here somewhere. Oh, you're fixing it. Okay. Hello. That's getting better. Okay. Oh, my goodness. So I am just really feeling great because we met yesterday for 4 hours as a church council. And our church council, it's been a year since we've disaffiliated from the United Methodist denomination. And so it's been a year that has enabled us to, like, say, okay, who are we? And yesterday we met for 4 hours to actually ask that question, who are we? What are our values? You know, what is God calling us to? I felt like I had a word from God. I was sitting here praying in the sanctuary one morning. I just felt the Lord say, I think it was the Lord, might have been me, but I just heard, prepare for guests. And I've been sharing that with different groups, prepare for guests. I don't know what that means, but he wants us to prepare for guests to arrive. I don't know when, I don't know how many, I don't know under what circumstances, just that. Prepare for guests. And I thought about it. I thought, shouldn't every church always prepare for guests and anticipate and be ready for? And how do we respond to that? And so we talked about all those things. And you guys, I was just so impressed with the level of the love for Jesus. I'm impressed with the level of the love for Jesus in this church. It's crazy to me. It's like, how did you gather together so many people who just really love you and want more of you? It's amazing to me. I love it. And anyway, the church council was just so cool and so wonderful, and all the contributions they were making and all the discussions we had, it was just like, I have so much hope and I have so much anticipation and so much joy in Bradley Epworth. That's why I'm wearing the shirt today. We'll represent, you know, come on. And it's like, because I just see what God's doing here. It's exciting. If you're on the church council, would you please stand just very briefly, just stand up, and so we can see some of the people who made up that church council. So just look around and see these people. Yeah, they're awesome people. And you can sit down. And there's a bunch down in children's ministry right now. You know, working down there that are part of the church council. But this is the decision-making body of the church. This is the group that that I answer to. This is the group that determines what we're doing and is the final decision-making body of Bradley Epworth. And it's like, and it's just us. It's just us. It's just us. And this is our church, okay? This is our church. It's actually Jesus' church, but Jesus is loaning it to us. So it's like, you know, he's the head, we're the body, but we get to do this thing. And I'm just so excited about it. I'm so happy about it. And one of the things that we did yesterday is that, is it up here? Is it the, it must be, hello. Maybe I'm doing it. But here's the thing, you guys. This is a big deal. I shared with the church council that I feel like my time of being the senior pastor is coming to an end, and I'm going to be transitioning into another role here at Bradley Epworth. And the thing is that, you know, in July of 2025, I'm going to be 70, and that's, you know, for me, 70 represents a time of new beginnings, taking on something new, a new season in your life, right? It's not the ending, it's the beginning. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm 70. I should have learned a few things by now. I got a year. I got a year from July to do this, all right? I want to transition away from, please understand this, I want to transition away from the 42 years of being the manager and of an organization and all that goes in with that. And we have to have that. That's important. We are an organization. We have to have that. And we've got to have people who are given over to that. And the pastoral role is that. But in addition to that, being a shepherd, which is my true heart, I mean, I try to do organization. I try to do all stuff. It doesn't work well. But I like to shepherd. So what I want is I want to be released from that to do more of that. Okay? And so we're going to transition my role here at Bradley Epworth from a paid staff position and the pastor to another volunteer who has gifts and graces to offer to the body. But I really feel like my transition is going to be from senior pastor to senior Jesus freak. Now I'm looking for a job description, and I think I found one. So, stay with me. John, oh, not you, John. No, John, the Gospel of John. John 14:12, what is in this tea? John 14:12 says this. It's my job description going forward, you guys. It's a year out, so I've got time to prepare for it. And I thought the year would be good for the church council to be able to then determine how do we move forward from here. Like, what does our leadership structure look like, and how do we replace this guy? So we've got a year to do that. But when that comes and I become the senior Jesus freak, listen to this. John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. There it is, my job description, to do what Jesus did, right? I have faith in him. I thought, that's me. I can apply for this job, right? Anyone who has faith in me, listen, will do what I have been doing. So let's do that. Now we go back to Matthew, because that's a little description that gives more detail to what Jesus was doing. And listen to this. Jesus went through, this is 9:35 again in Matthew. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. Listen to that. What a job description. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Who's harassing the crowds? Why are they, who's doing that? Stop it. Like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And so look at what he's asking for. Look at what the job description is. Not just for me. This is us. Anyone who has faith in Jesus, is there anyone who has faith in Jesus? Oh my goodness, there's a room full. And he said, oh, well, then you will do what I have been doing. You will. Herman, you will. Melissa, you will. Mark, Matthias, right? Yeah. No, guys in the lobby. You guys out there in the lobby, are you listening? Look at those guys. Bang on the glass so they wake up. Wake them up out there. Okay. What a crew. This is what people see when they visit our church. That's the first thing they see. These guys. It's like, welcome. No, okay, you guys are hearing me, right? Okay, wave again. Everyone, okay, got it. All right. It says everyone's going to do it, and even the guys in the lobby, if they have faith in Jesus, they're going to do what Jesus has been doing. So listen to what it is. It's teaching. First of all, teaching. And the teaching here, that teaching and preaching are two different things. Teaching here, didasko, means instruction to increase the understanding and shape the will of the student. Doesn't that sound cool? Instruction to increase the understanding and shape the will of the student. This is what rabbis did with their disciples. This is the didasko. This is the didactic, right? The teaching of the early church. And it's what we do here in Bradley Epworth, and it's what you do when you mentor someone or help someone or come alongside, right? Someone, this is what we are all teachers. Because we all believe in Jesus, so we're doing what Jesus did. We're all teaching. And preaching is different. Preaching is the public proclamation and announcement. We proclaim and we announce publicly, and what we have is the content of what we are preaching is the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is coming. There is a kingdom coming. And to quote Daryl Neal yesterday at our wonderful meeting, and you don't want to miss it. He said his evangelism is changing a little bit. You know, and how he approaches people. He's talking now along the lines of, you know, the kingdom, there's a kingdom coming. Do you know that Jesus, when he returns, is bringing a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be a kingdom? And we're gonna be like people with resurrected bodies, but we're going to talk to each other, and we're going to do stuff, and we're going to eat steak and drink wine, and it's going to be great. Wait a minute, steak, I don't know. Do we kill animals in heaven? What? Huh? All right, there are going to be cows in heaven that will be re-sacrificed or something. I don't know. Okay, that's a question for Chad to answer later. All right. we'll give that one to Chad. You got it, buddy. Okay. So we're proclaiming. Now we try to do both those things here on Sunday morning at the same time. And sometimes you'll see that sometimes one of the teachers of the teaching team will lean more towards teaching, and one will lean more towards preaching. And we call it preaching, but it's a combination of both things, because this is what Jesus did. And sometimes even in one message, you know, your message will go along with teaching, and then you slip into proclaiming, right? And it shifts, and you can tell. And all of us have different strengths. Praise God for the teaching team and all their different strengths. Amen? I mean, come on. Yeah, this is so cool. This church is so cool, I can't stand it. I can stand it. The good news of the kingdom is coming and you don't want to miss it. You know, yesterday at men's ministry, we made a plan that in the new creation, we're going to meet the men's ministry. We said, okay, look, guys, when we all get up there, we're going to go, when you see the river that's coming through the middle of the city, go on the left bank and walk up the left bank until you see a tree. That's the tree of life. You'll be facing the throne. It's left of the throne. The throne is up here. The tree's here. And we're going to meet under the tree. And we're going to talk about, wow, wasn't that crazy what we did back there? And you know, when we were in Peoria and we did all this stuff. And we thought we knew everything. And we don't know anything. So we got a plan. That's where we're meeting. It's going to be fun. So get in on men's ministry every other Saturday. That's a commercial, huh? All right? At 9 o'clock. Okay. But the kingdom's coming. The kingdom is coming. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome. And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss this kingdom. I had somebody talking to me one time. They were grieving, and they lost their spouse, and they were saying, but I know they're light now. They've become light, and, you know, I'm just so broken, but I want to become light so that we can be light together, and we can merge with the big light. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of light. I said, you know, there's a different way of looking at this. And the way I would look at it, because I knew the spouse, and I knew what he'd like to do. I said, I'm going to see Joe again, and we're going to sit down, have a steak and a beer, and go golfing. That's what he likes to do. I wasn't saying that. don't go anywhere with that. But it's like, and they were like, what? And I'm like, yes, God has made a way. God has made a way in our resurrected bodies to actually live life together. We get a do-over. We get a do-over without sin. We get a do-over without pride. We get a do-over without all those things, and no sickness, no pain, no heartache. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Yes. Yes. There's an aroma. There's a song that's rising up from the African plain. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. He reigns. Oh, my goodness. What are we doing here? This is the preaching of the good news of the kingdom. Did you hear it? Did you hear how that felt? That's what we do. And we take that, and we take it in here because these meetings are for all of us who are members and we want to go deeper in the Word, right? But we also are a meeting that's open to guests and visitors who might not know anything about the Word. And so we're a mixture. And so God bless those poor men who have to get up here and give messages to meet all the needs that are sitting out there. I love you guys. Bless you. But the kingdom's coming, and here, and let me show you what it's going to be like. There's a kingdom coming, and let me show you what it's going to be like. Be healed, be delivered, be raised from the dead. The kingdom power now amongst us. And that's what Jesus did. He took the kingdom power, the kingdom's coming, the kingdom isn't here yet. This is not the kingdom. Read the newspaper. This is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom's coming. It is not established. It will be established, but the kingdom power is available to us now, and Jesus gave us that power. He said, wait until you get the power, and we'll just show you what, we're going to do a demo, you know, a demo right now, right here. Let me show you what God has in store for you. In the name of Jesus, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. This hallelujah, amen is right. This is what's going to happen to us, you guys. Believe it. Believe. Is Jesus here? Donde Jesus? Donde es Jesus? Oh, donde es Jesus? El poder del reino. Aquí, ahora. Gloria a Dios. Come on, I knew you. I was hoping you'd be here today. Yes. Okay, all of which... No. Put over this whole thing the covering of compassion. Everything Jesus did was with compassion. He had compassion. He had compassion on the crowds. He had compassion as if they were lost sheep. Everyone you know that doesn't know Jesus, that's a lost little lamb. That's not a confrontation. That's not an argument. That's a lost lamb. And when you come with him with that in your heart and you understand that, then we're doing what Jesus did. And that's part of the job description for all of us. But for me, a senior Jesus freak, I have to make sure that I have that down well. But that takes us to one of the my favorite word in the whole Greek, all of Greek. There is one word that I love more than any other word. Oh, come on, Marita. I love you, Marita. You know it. Agaliao. Okay, then how do we get to Agaliao? Okay, you do it through Luke 10, and let's do it because it's part of what we're doing here as Christians in this world. He sent out his disciples, okay, in Luke 10, he sent out his disciples. They actually delivered people. They actually healed people. They proclaimed the kingdom, and people responded, and it's like, we can't believe this. So Luke 10, 17, the 72 returned with joy, and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Wow. Okay, all right. Anybody who, you know, believes in Jesus will do what Jesus did, and that's what happened. And Jesus' response, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He saw Satan fall. Why? Why did Satan fall at that moment? Because the power that Jesus has, the kingdom power that Jesus has, was transferred to the followers. And he knew, it's over. It's over. It's over. Once they catch fire, that's a fire that'll never be put out. Once that starts, you can't shut it down. All right? And that fire is in our hearts right now. That fire is in our bellies, folks. That fire is in Bradley Airport Church. It's a fire that you can't shut out. And Jesus is looking at that and saying, I'm seeing Satan fall. Whew. I have given you authority, you. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, don't rejoice about that. Don't rejoice just because the Spirit submitted to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, listen to this. Now, Jesus is standing there at that time, right at that moment, when he saw Satan, they've come back, it's all over, I've given you this power, it's coming, your names are written in heaven, that's what our real goal here is for us and for everybody. And Jesus, a golly uh-oh, through the Holy Spirit, okay, that's what it's a Jesus full of joy is how it is written there. But a golly uh-oh, at that time Jesus, a golly uh-oh, through the Holy Spirit said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Us, we're the little children. This is because, Father, it was your good pleasure. So the Son is standing there. The Holy Spirit comes on him, and he lifts his voice up to the Father, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's a Trinity moment here. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And a galliao is what Jesus is feeling. Let me read you the definition of a galliao, so you will have it be your favorite word too. It is made of two words, agon and halomai. Agon means very much, okay? Halomai means to leap. And what it means is very much jumping joy. All right? Okay. To exult, to rejoice with exuberance, to leap for joy, rejoicing with leaping, skipping, and dancing, ecstatic joy and delight. Agaliao! Yes! Yes! All right. I got to tell you, I found my tribe this morning, okay? I did. I found my people. And, it's you. No, I got another. I found another tribe. And do you have that, Kristen? Yeah. Okay, there is actually a song, a galliao. Okay, I didn't know this. I found it. I thought I love these people. Okay, can we hear it? Just a brief. Yeah. This is crazy. He's got it. He's got it. Come on. Jim's dancing. I just saw him. Jim was dancing. Come on, I saw you. All right, everybody's going to join in now. Galliao. It's my vibe. It's the joy of Christ in me. It's that's good. All right, that's good. Agario! Okay, this is so important. This is so cool. I love this. Okay, so now I want to show you where this comes up again. Because it describes how we, you and I, are the people. This group was the people of joy or something like that, the Joy Collective, and this is their theme song. And to see the video, go to YouTube and watch it. They are jumping all over the room, and it is so impressive. And I want to go be there. I want to go do that. Okay, I want to go do that. Or we could just make it here. Chad and Kyle are saying, let's do it now. Let's go. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so in 1 Peter, he uses this word, and he says in 1 Peter 1:8, this is so important. Listen to this. Are you guys connecting the dots? I think you are. I feel the vibe in here. It's my vibe. Okay. Though you have not seen him, this is you. Please hear this. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are agaliao, an inexpressible and glorious joy you are filled with. You are agaliao. He says that. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Is that not beautiful? All right. And chapter 4, please listen to this, because I wanted this to be your favorite word going out of here. Your favorite Greek word. Now 4:13 of 1 Peter. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Now that's hard. Because what he's saying is we suffer. He's saying there are hard things about life. There are things that we have suffered, and he's talking to people who are being persecuted regularly and suffering for that. And he's saying, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be a golly uh-oh when his glory is revealed. When you see, dear ones, please hear this. When you see his glory, we haven't seen his glory. But when you see his glory, you are going to very much jumping joy. Because you've been persecuted or because you've suffered for Jesus and all of that you've endured, the injustices and all of that. And we have a minimal amount of that in comparison to our brothers and sisters in other places, but we have it. And we know what the sacrifices are that we have all made in our own hearts, right? The things you've given up, the things you've given away, the price that you've paid to keep following Jesus, hard after Jesus. You know what they are. And when you see his glory, it's going to be like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. We're all going to be like Jim Simmons out there. We're all going to be jumping and we're going to be clapping and we're going to be dancing and we're going to be skipping for joy. And we're going to be yelling, Agalia! Rejoice! Now here's the last one. In Revelation chapter 19, it says verse 6, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and the loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and agaliao and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. And in verse 9, then the angel said to me, write this down. An angel told John, write this down. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the true words of God. Imagine it, folks. A little card with your name on a plate, on a table. And it's the wedding of the Lamb. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. But you walked into the hall and you said, is there a seat for David Thompson? a little scared to ask. You know, oh yes, come over here, sir. There's your name. There's your name written out and placed on this plate. And Jesus said, that's what we rejoice in, that our names have been written down and placed on a plate so that we are invited and we are guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, the great agaliao. Dear ones, don't miss it. Don't miss it. If there happens to be somebody here today in this church and you have not given your life to Jesus, do not leave this room. Do not leave this room. It's not safe out there. But come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and tell him, I believe in you. I receive you. You're God. You're coming as the King. You're coming as the King. You are coming as the King, and we will live under your kingship. Listen. Listen, when Jesus comes on a throne in Jerusalem and rules over the earth, he'll be President Jesus. That's my president. President Jesus. That's where I have my citizenship. And I'm an alien and a stranger in this world. I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. But he has transferred me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Wow. Don't miss it. Do you know someone who's not there? Do you know someone? I mean, I'm looking out here today. I'm saying we're all Christians, okay? But maybe you're not, and you need to do that right now. And maybe you just know somebody, and Jesus, send us out. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. And you're looking at the harvest as little lambs that are lost. And you're saying, send somebody. Send Herman to that person. Send David to that teenager. Send Caleb to that person. Send Michael. Send Ben. What's your name?
Dave.
Send Dave. send us out to bring in the harvest. So there will be such a galliao on that day when his glory comes And because the alternative is weeping and regret and gnashing of teeth in such sorrow. We don't want that. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the church. Thank you for what our business is. Thank you for our job description. Thank you for our missionaries. Thank you for our church council. Thank you for everything. Thank you for David and Leah and Luke and Stephen who brought us worship this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everything that's happening to reach the lambs, to bring in the harvest, to bring you joy, to bring you glory. We want to see you dancing on the side of the road because of what we've done. In Jesus' name, amen.